Welcome to Minute Maid Park, where the Astros have lost Game 7 of the American League Championship Series 11-4, and now the Texas Rangers are celebrating on the field and heading to the World Series. Jason Bristol, former Major League scout Jeremy Booth, our KHO 11 baseball analyst. Jeremy, so much to talk about in this game, but ultimately, the start by Christian Javier is what really put things in motion here. But you told me, as we were sitting there watching the game, you knew right away Christian Javier did not have it.
Yeah, I saw it on the first pitch.
First pitch.
I looked to you and I said so. He said it's going to be a problem. Short striding, throws your release point off, your front side, lose your direction. All of a sudden, now you're what we call arm side high, which is up in the zone and out of the zone to your release side. The adjustment on that is a correct down and away. And if you can't get your feet right and your landing right and your stride length right, then you're going to miss and you're going to start yanking balls out of the strike zone. That happened as well, usually with the breaking ball. Well, the only other adjustment after that, try to correct yourself right down the middle. And on pitch number four, Corey Seager showed you what happened when you do exactly that. So, you know, it's a situation where that started off. It was clear from the beginning he didn't have his sync. He was in sync. Didn't have his feel for his delivery. The execution wasn't going to be there. You know, you saw that play out in the first inning.
Ultimately, when you look at this game and really this series, we crunched the numbers here. And what you're looking at is runners in scoring position. Games 2, 6, and now 7. 0 for 6, 1 for 8, 2 for 14. That's 3 for 28 in three games here at Minute Maid Park.
And game for 1 was what, 0 for 2?
1 for 3
1 for
game
3.
1.
So, I thought 1 for 3 was a 2-0 win against Verlander, right?
Game 1?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a 2-0 win. Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, look, you cannot win that way. We talked about the situation just in game 6 coming up with Dubon, and the same situation with Chaz McCormick in game 2. Identical situation, same time in the game, same closer, same spot in the lineup, bases loaded. You got a situationally hit. And it seemed like while there was some of that in Arlington, certainly, throughout this series, the bats were given away on top of your bats by chasing, swinging and missing, pressing. I don't know what the pitch-by-pitch diagnosis would be with these guys that were struggling, but it was pretty consistent. That's a baffling number to try to overcome if you're going to leave that much traffic on the bases.
Of course, we're taking your questions and comments here. I'm looking on Facebook, so if you're watching on, say, YouTube or our KHO11 site, we're looking at them from Facebook. Tracy says Dusty made no adjustments. He left Brantley and Tucker in the game. That was mind-boggling. He left in Javier way too long. Here's the thing. Kyle Tucker is essentially a 30-30 guy. I know he's struggling, but you can't remove him from the game. Michael Brantley had incredible numbers career against Max Scherzer. I think he was hitting .375 in his time against Max Scherzer. And, you know, this is baseball. And unfortunately, a lot of things went wrong at the wrong time for the Astros.
That's fair.
And Christian Javier, I think if you had to poll everyone in this stadium before the game and said, listen, what do you think about Christian Javier starting a game 7? How do you feel? I'm guessing 99.4% of the people would say, you know what? He's one guy that I do trust on this staff to start a game 7 based on his history, not just in the postseason, but also his numbers here. Jeremy, he had a 2.87 ERA career at Minute Maid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm good with Christian Javier starting tonight. You know, it was something we talked about before the game. I liked him against Scherzer in any situation you would take at this point in time. Here's where you're going to run into some problems. Throughout the year, look, this team had some injuries. No question about it, first part of the year. You had some guys have some historically bad seasons for themselves, and Jose Abreu, even though he was very good in September and certainly in the postseason. You have a pitching staff that, in my mind, as well as some versatility, let's call it in the middle infield, that became an issue. And when I say that, you asked Hunter Brown to throw way too many innings for what he should have thrown. Yep. You put Lance McCullers back in the rotation, and as much as Lance McCullers is a part of the fabric in Houston and the Astros and Astros baseball, he hasn't been a starter since he got here. Just because you can start doesn't make you a starter. He's thrown 160 innings one time, right? The rest of the time is 120 or less, and that puts you firmly in the bullpen, especially if you're missing seasons, getting hurt. Now, next year he's going to come back, and maybe they'll address it that way. You've got Hunter Brown, who had some some buildup. No, that's a step forward. You've got Abreu, who's arriving into his own.
You didn't even mention J.P. France, who's really a Sugarland space cowboy, and he's thrust in to a rotation.
As Garcia gets hurt.
And throws more innings than he's ever thrown in his professional career.
That's right. So they didn't address the roles correctly. Did they have the personnel? Yeah. Is it the same year? Was 2023 the same year as 2022? No, we talked about this in February and in January. But when they go into what got them this season, they still, after all that, in my mind, 1-9, or I don't care what the score says, are a better team than the Texas Rangers. Texas Rangers were much better. They were improved. And the Astros just flat out didn't execute. When you go 3-32, what was it, 3-28?
Something-ish.
When you have a football score the other direction of leaving runners in scoring position, you've left the city of Fulcher on the base paths. That's a problem.
And who do we have out on the mound there? Yep.
That would be Max Scherzer.
Max Scherzer out on the mound celebrating. Unfortunately, now this is very reminiscent of 2019.
It's almost exactly.
And Jeremy, I think it comes down to this before we get to some more comments. If you can't win a game at home in a series, you probably don't deserve to win the series.
Yeah, and the same can be said for the Rangers, though, right? Because they lost all three there.
True.
I mean, this is one of those things where we'll go back to that 2-2 and 3. Two are yours, two are mine, and three are up for grabs. The Rangers certainly won their two. Astros won their two. Then the Astros gave two away. When you leave that many, what was it, 1-14 tonight?
2-14.
You don't deserve to win. It's just that simple. No matter what Christian Javier does, you don't deserve to win. If the Astros convert Game 6 or Game 2 or tonight, they're not even here. So it's a situation where you leave that many guys on base and you don't hit, and you swing and miss. You look at pitches from a reliever like Leclerc, who's all over the place. He's in the zone, and then he's really not. And you help him get back on track, you're asking to lose the game. This isn't to pile on, but any one player down the line, when you have that type of numbers, this isn't any one player's type of deal. This is a consistent guys got hurt because they're in the wrong role. Other guys filled the gaps. They got to a point in time when they still could have answered the World Series. And when it came time to do this in a 7-game ALCS, they didn't execute, and the Rangers did. And that's how you walk out of here with going home while your team advances.
And, of course, once again, I'm checking your comments here, not ignoring you, not being
rude.
I'm
all good. I'm good.
Yes, I know. Cougar Tino said, I said it last night, I don't care if the Easter Bunny were on the mound. We needed to hit but didn't. Not wrong. Not wrong.
Okay, I don't know if you can say it better than that. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Sip said something is going on in the clubhouse. Lots of unmotivated players on the team. We addressed this once before. If anything, especially, I think we addressed it after game two.
Yeah.
Not unmotivated. In fact, maybe pressing too much, trying too hard.
This is an incredibly, incredibly difficult game to play. Like, it's the hardest thing to do, bar none, on the planet. I don't know what else to tell you when it comes.
And you should know. You did it.
And to do this, you have to be a literal genetic anomaly with the amount of human beings that have walked the face of the earth and those that have played a professional sport under contract, certainly professional baseball. It's a fan, and even as somebody now who evaluates, you can always break this stuff down in different phases. I'm doing it. It's part of my programming as an evaluator and as an exec and everything I've done since then. But I can tell you that when it comes down to playing this game, it's incredibly difficult. And when you lose 11-3 and you leave that many guys 11-4 and that many guys on the base paths, that's a team thing. That's not unmotivated. There's something going on there where every time you're coming back, they're coming right back at you. This series really was, in my mind, lost last night. As optimistic as we could have been today, this was lost last night because you had a chance to put the series ahead and put the Rangers out of their misery, so to speak, and you didn't. You gave up after it made it personal. You left guys on base. You come in tonight, and it's even worse than it was yesterday.
I think now we have to address Dusty Baker. Mm-hmm. Lots of comments about, obviously, this is Dusty's fault, but more so this, that moving forward, what is Dusty's – is Dusty coming back?
Well, I have to address the Dusty's fault if you don't.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's not Dusty's fault. Are there things that Dusty did that anybody would question? Absolutely. Is Yainer Diaz and Martín Maldonado going to be something the city will talk about for a long time? Yeah, and rightfully so. When it comes to Jeremy Peña's regression, that's year two, and we talked about this from the beginning, that no matter what he did last year, you're going to find out this year, and you're really going to find out in year three. You're starting to get a picture of what Jeremy Peña really is. He's a light-hitting shortstop with some power who will make some consistent contact from time to time, but he will execute defensively. That's what Jeremy Peña is. And when you look around the rest of the club, You got to put pitching in the right roles, and you got to be able to get watch some guys grow up. Some other guys are going to have to phase out, and you need to have some depth in the middle infield, which they did not have. They didn't have that all year. So they lost Aledmys Diaz. They had no more depth. They brought in Dubon, who could do that, but he turned into your best center fielder.
Yeah, he did.
You know, so you don't, you have to be able to address those things other ways. That didn't happen. This club next year is going to look a lot different. Whether Dusty's
a lot different?
Yeah, a lot different because some guys that weren't playing every day this year will play. And some guys,
other than Yiner.
Well, you don't know what's going to happen in the outfield. We don't know where Dubon's going to ultimately end up. Okay. Does he rotate around? Who plays center? Jake Myers was a big piece of this team at one point. And we don't know where that's going to be
next year.
So, well, even this year he played a lot. So when you look through how this is going to roll out, what happens with Chaz McCormick? He's earned a chance to play every day where? What happens with Michael Brantley even when he came back? Don't know. You got some questions on the pitching staff as far as what roles to put in. Where does Abreu fit? We don't know. He's evolved.
Jose Abreu or Brian Abreu?
Brian Abreu. Okay. He's evolved into something that's really valuable for this bullpen. Where does Neris fit? Statistically, on paper, people might prefer Neris. I prefer Abreu. When you look at Ryan Pressly continuing to be effective, you don't know what the starting staff's going to do. There's some holes in that rotation that they're going to have to plug in, whether Hunter Brown takes a step forward, what's Verlander like a year later. So there's some questions to answer here when it comes to what this club looks like. And even if it's a lot of the same personnel, it's going to be different balance. It'll be a different rhythm to what they do than what they had this year coming in. And with that said, while Dusty had his preferences, let's say, for people to play in certain situations, I don't know that Dusty's back, but I will tell you this. If Dusty isn't back, I believe it's his choice. That's my opinion. I said that months ago. Said it privately months ago. Listening to him in the...
We just heard him in the post-game news conference here at Minute Maid. He said he told the guys, I love them. He said, you have to savor what we did. Think of how we can get better, and then I'll evaluate my situation in my life. However, after that, he then talked about, I think this is what he really stuck out to me, was he said...
said a few things.
He cheated his family for his quest for another ring.
There were three or four things.
And then went on to basically say his daughter, his grandchildren.
His dogs.
He says he's got two hunting dogs who, if he walked into the house, they wouldn't even recognize him because he hasn't been home since February. Those are the kinds of things, and I don't want to speculate.
Well, then he asked a pretty cool question.
Well, hold on. I don't think you can speculate, but I also think that those are kinds of things that someone says who really isn't sure, you know? I mean, last year was like, if I won one, I'm coming back for another. If I won one, why wouldn't I want to win two? Now I'm that was just my observation, that this sounds like a guy who seriously will consider whether this is his last year. And also, he even bring up this point, his son, let's not forget his son, Darren Baker, is this close to making the major leagues, okay? Darren Baker was in AAA this year, and there's a good chance he could make his major league debut in 2024 for the Washington Nationals.
Dusty asked the question, and I'll speak with a little bit of experience here, since I guess that's what I'm supposed to be doing in the first place.
So Dusty said, I've been on the, what did he say? Has anyone not been at home as long as I have?
He said, I've been gone since February 10. Has anybody not been home that long?
This guy raises his hand.
Dusty knew the answer. It's not like we and I don't have any kind of any familiarity with each other, you know. And he said, I said, yeah, man, 225 days a year, because he knows. That's how that works. And he goes, well, I don't want your job. And so when you're saying that, you know, regardless of the things that I do now, which are not 225, but when I was scouting, were definitely 225, you know, and playing, it becomes a different – there's a time in your life when your brain goes, you know what? I don't know. Is it worth it on the other side of the things that you're missing? You know, and Dusty's got other – he's got other interests. He's got – and look, I know this is a long way of saying it, but bottom line, he's got to evaluate – in his life, at his point in time, what he's done on the field as a player, what he's done as a manager, what he's done to mentor the next group, is he gone from the organization? Probably not. I don't see that happening. Does he stay on as a special advisor to Jim Crane? Maybe. Is there some kind of way he stays involved in the game? Probably. But it sounded to me like somebody who wanted to go home and turn the page with his family and be around the interest in his life back in Northern California.
That's an excellent way of putting it.
Yeah.
That's an excellent way of putting it. Tons of questions here about the game. Why not walk Adolis Garcia? Dusty was asked that very same question in the post-game news conference, and he said, well, you know, why didn't they walk Yordan? Which,
yeah,
they actually did.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have the answer to that.
I don't think it matters.
I think perhaps sometimes, I know he's super hot, but Adolis Garcia is also can be a free swinger. So, you know, maybe that had something to do with it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I don't know that it matters in a situation like this. No matter what we point to.
You didn't hit. You didn't hit with runners in scoring position.
Again, give me that number again.
What is it, 2 for 28?
I don't know.
3 for 28.
You were 4 for 71 with runners in scoring position. Like, it doesn't matter.
For 28.
Thank you. 3 for 28. That's not going to work out. So, you can walk Adolis Garcia. So you can walk Garcia. You can walk
Jim Sundberg.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, knowing Ryan could get a bat. It doesn't matter what happens. It's not going to work out. So, when you have that type of lineup, you know, Juan Gonzalez could be playing today. It doesn't matter.
Nathan Eovaldi and Jordan Montgomery are walking behind us. They are getting ready to go on to the FS1 set. Here's another one, and this is a good one, actually. This is something that you and I discussed. More so one half of the question, why did he not stick with Maton and Hunter Brown? I get Phil Maton. I think he's the type of guy you bring in when there's some traffic on the bases. But you said to me, I'll ride Hunter Brown as long as I can. I was going to ask it in the news conference. Unfortunately, then it got a little more reflective about Dusty and the team and things like that, so I didn't really feel it was appropriate at that time to kind of go back to rehash why they didn't leave Hunter Brown in. But, you know, Hunter Brown, listen, he gave up one run. Yes, it was a home run. But overall, he pitched pretty well. And when you look at his numbers, he was 41 pitches in two innings. That's not great, but he at least held these guys in check a little bit, more so than what we had seen. And then they go to J.P. France, and J.P. France, that's when...
Gave it up.
That's basically when everything goes awry.
Yeah, I'm riding Hunter Brown a little further. There's no question about that. I'm not nothing against J.P. France, but I got Hunter Brown that's got the ball, who's fresh. He's going to go as far as he can because there is no tomorrow. You know, again, that's one of those things you look back at, and you'll see when the game broke open with J.P. France, as was noted by Jason here a second ago. But, you know, at the end of the day, that was the decision that was made. And even if they I'll say this all offseason when we talk about what to address, I'll say this next year. You cannot leave that many guys on base and expect to win. You can't do it. And if they hit it all and get in those situations in 2, 6, or tonight, then the outcome's different. That's just a lot of traffic.
And now a lot of questions about Justin Verlander. Why do or die? Why not start him? Dusty was very adamant. He is here to protect his players. Justin Verlander is coming off arm injury. He missed part of the season.
I'm not throwing Verlander now. He's the one guy that doesn't get the ball.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because he pitched game 5 after throwing seven innings in game 1. If we think about Justin Verlander's postseason history and his injury history that we've talked about and his age, throwing him tonight's a bad decision for Justin Verlander. And so if you're looking towards what next year is going to bring, or even the game 1, if there happens to get there, maybe he gets an inning at the back. Like, what was that, Garrett Cole in 2019 when we had to for the Nationals potentially warming up? Yeah, he never came in the game. So you could possibly see something like that.
Yeah, but I would argue that would have been a good move 4 years ago. Verlander at 39, 40 years old.
Not today. So you could have seen that potentially, but you weren't going to see that because it doesn't make sense for him to do any of that stuff.
And Dusty even said it never even really entered the conversation. I don't know if it would have mattered anyways.
And it shouldn't. By the time you would have gone to Verlander, it was out of reach because they weren't producing. The Astros weren't driving in runs. So, you know, if you're not driving in runs, you can't. We'll talk about that for the offseason for Astros fans and Twitter to think about. You need RBI guys. In this day and age, we've gotten away from guys that drive in runs because we believe, or the stat of RBIs, because we have found a way to believe in baseball that you can't quantify that. That it's a where are you hitting the lineup situation. It's a traffic situation. It is not. It is a skill. Driving in runs is absolutely a skill. It is a mental mindset. It is an approach. It is adjustability in your swing. It's an athleticism. It's a pitch recognition. It's a discipline. None of those things can really be quantified unless one whole part. Pieces of them can. You certainly can't quantify the nerves of steel and the slow heartbeat it takes to hit in those situations. So what I would say, if I'm looking at this club, I'm finding more guys that can make better contact situations like that as I try to plug them in. Dana Brown, he has a big task ahead of him to help balance his club out a little bit. But the pieces that they're looking at, that's part of it. So it doesn't matter when Verlander pitches. It doesn't matter if Mike Scott came out of retirement. Like, it doesn't matter. What matters is they didn't hit in those situations, and they did it for four nights in a row, or three nights of the last four here.
I think if Kyle Tucker produces in this series, it's a different story, potentially, at least. It would have been closer. Kyle Tucker had, I don't say historic bad season offensively, but for a guy that was essentially basically a 30-30 guy, it was a lot of, there was the key double in game five, which chased that brought in Leclerc.
Yeah.
That was huge. Chapman.
Yeah.
But really, it was a quiet series for him. And the postseason as a whole was not great.
Yeah, and I will never get all offseason. I'll have two at-bats in my head that I won't, and none of them are Tucker's. Because Tucker, to me, wasn't in situations that stood out as run production situations or move the lineup situations, hitting with two outs with a guy that swings and misses like him and can arrive on time at the same time. Yeah, you want to see guys that hit maybe in the sixth hole that can do that stuff because they'll catch some damage and clear the bases a little bit or they'll swing and miss. But when I'm thinking about the at-bats that go forward, I'm thinking about Dubon last night.
That was game six, eighth inning, bases loaded.
And I'm thinking about Chaz McCormick in game two.
Chaz McCormick.
I can't get away from it. And I might go back.
The approach. Explain why, though.
Well, because Leclerc was on the mound, but one more at-bat. I might go back to Maldonado with the bases loaded in the fourth inning in game one.
Well, you weren't crazy about this one. Third inning here.
I'll get there. But okay, as far as the bats that stick out that turned it, you had Maldonado in game one in the fourth inning and Diaz in game two in the fifth inning as well. Bases loaded both times. That's four times the bases are loaded. You got nothing. Tonight you had Alvarez at third base, and you've got Abreu at the plate. He hits a ground ball to the one spot you can't hit it to. And that's
third
Josh
base.
That's Josh Young. And he picks it up, and guy can't advance. But, again, 11-4. At the time that happens, they're down by two, run scores, and momentum keeps moving. So when you talk about why these Astros did not make it out of the ALCS, I just gave you six at-bats where you left 14 runners on base out of the 28. That's a lot, and four of those were bases loaded bats.
Melanie did not like my comment. She said that was a dumb comment when the Rangers didn't win at home, when I said that if you don't win a game at home and you have home field advantage, you don't deserve to win the series.
Well, I don't know that it's a dumb comment, because the Rangers didn't deserve to win either.
Well, that was her point. She said, well, the Rangers didn't win at home, so why is it?
Because
I think you have home field advantage. Like, that's...
I'll qualify that, because the Rangers didn't deserve to win either. The Astros didn't hit with runners in scoring position. The Rangers did a better job with one guy hitting the ball at the ballpark. That's what happened. You have, five home runs and 15 RBIs? And the other team doesn't hit? So... He's right. They don't deserve to win. The Rangers didn't deserve to win either. They just did a better job of executing in those situations with guys on base.
They just look so flat tonight. No enthusiasm, like they weren't even trying to win. Again, in reality, it's probably the opposite.
I think they were flat because they saw those guys, again, if I can see it from center field on pitch one, I promise you they can see it in the dugout. And Dusty referenced that. They knew right away in the first hitter something was off with Javier. You can see that immediately, and you come out pumped up, ready to go, focused, trying to compete, and the pitching gets off with a walk and a base hit, whatever they had, right, where he comes out down 3-0. It was a walk and a home run. It's 2-0 like that. And then you have that, you're going to be deflated. And they was playing catch-up from the entire time. They never made it up.
Maria says, Jason Bristol, you should be the Houston Astros manager for next year.
Yeah, all right.
If I did, I know where I'm going for a bench coach.
I'm not doing it.
What, I can't afford you?
No, you cannot. Sorry.
God, look at all this. Anyways, let's see. Missed that, to be fair, dude.
That's going to be talking about the other.
Joe Espada for coach next year. I mean, he'll be under consideration if Dusty leaves. If Dusty would have won tonight, he would not have said any of those things. Come on, man. Of course not. Of course he wouldn't.
But I think Dusty's mind, with what he said the reasons were, had a lot to do with that. You don't get swayed on one night. Dusty didn't win it in 21 either, and he came back in 22. So
again, another comment about it, there's reports that this is probably Dusty's last year. I mean, that's kind of, I think, yeah.
It's been the feeling the whole time before the year started, and he didn't do anything to dissuade that tonight.
But You can always be emotional. We got a little guy here playing. I got to be honest with you. Like, I know it's a kid's game, right? Like,
it
becomes a kid's game, and it doesn't matter if it doesn't matter which side you root for. It is a kid's game, so.
No apologies necessary. None. None. Need better relief pitchers. Stanek, Montero need to go. Well, Stanek?
Stanek probably, I would guess, is gone. The way he got the ball here this year, the way he kind of fell out of favor towards the postseason last year, I bet Ryan Stanek is somewhere else. Montero, you got him for a lot of money for a couple more years. He ain't going anywhere. So, but Stanek probably goes.
The thing with Montero, and maybe we're getting in the weeds here, is, I mean, he was pretty good at the end of the year. It just seems like things snowball really quickly with that guy.
That's because relievers are volatile, Jason.
That's right. Let's see. My question is, why couldn't the Astros win at home this season like they did last season? Again, that's the question that every single guy in that clubhouse has been asking themselves, and Dusty Baker in the manager's office. No one knows. But
I think throughout the year, there were a lot of distractions that happened here at Minute Maid Park when these guys came to go to work. They didn't have the same distractions on the road. I think sometimes you get into your head. It becomes a comfort zone, becomes a pressure. You know, this game is so mental in what happens, and sometimes it's just the conditioning. It'll change next year. It won't be the same as it was this year, just like this year wasn't the same as it was last year. But I stood right over there on the dugout rail, and I watched this happen several times this year where this entire dirt area, this entire warning track where we're standing right here, was packed with people, stanchioned off and packed with
fans,
people.
Yep.
And guys would come out of the dugout, and they're trying to go to work. People, hey, come here and talk. And it's like they're spending 10, 15 minutes talking to these guys, and they can't prepare to hit. And while they'll never say that, I think that wore on them a little bit. And I think when you saw that kind of clear out, they played better, but I think they just got into their head and they were more comfortable on the road by the time it came around to having to play four games out of seven here.
All righty. Quickly, how do you think these Rangers will fare in the World Series, no matter which team they're facing?
I'll be in the mountains. I'm sorry, what? I think they're playing with no fear and they're playing aggressive. If I watch the other side, if the Phillies win, it's been interesting to see what happens there because they kind of played the same way.
Yeah.
And then they've let things get away from them. The Diamondbacks are also playing fearless. So whatever happens in the next World Series or in this coming World Series in a few days, it's going to be very aggressive. It's going to be very quick. It's going to be fast-paced. I think the Rangers got just as good a chance to win it. I'm actually going to pick them right now over the National League winner because of the
really?
Momentum. Yeah, because
okay.
the momentum and the way they're swinging the bats in clutch situations. If they get anything like they got out of Scherzer in the next round, they got three legitimate starters to go up against, two in Philly and two in Arizona, and so we'll see what happens with that.
All right, quickly, Maria says, could have all been solved if Jeremy wore his hoodie.
Tell him. Get him there. Get them there. I told you, the hoodie and the jeans. I like that. Thank you.
All righty.
The suit looks good, though. No? Okay. Jason, you happy with the suit? Serge? Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay. All right. Well, we thank all of you for watching us throughout the postseason. It is one of the most favorite things that we get to do is to interact with you guys and take your questions and the back and forth. And there's not a better teammate to have than Jeremy Booth because I'll put his knowledge of baseball in this game and its inner workings up against anybody.
So, even when it upsets some people?
Well, that's what we do. But you know what? We
can't
keep it real.
Can't afford me now, though.
Huh?
Can't afford me now, though.
Yeah, I can't. All right, everybody. That's going to wrap it up for this post-game.
What? Should we do this, like these Facebook Lives? All? Can we get a poll at Facebook Lives all off-season when we do this? What do you think?
Ask Sergio. I don't know if we can afford him.
All right. If you guys like this stuff, let us know. We have a lot of fun with it. So if you guys like the Facebook Lives, let us know. We go into the off-season, some of these recaps. Maybe we'll figure out a way to do that.
All right, everybody. That is the scene here from Minute Maid as the Texas Rangers advance to the World Series, winning the American League Championship Series 4-3. The Game 7 final, once again, is 11-4 for photojournalist Sergio Soto. KHO 11 baseball analyst Jeremy Booth, I'm Jason Bristol, signing off from Minute Maid, where once again, your final score is Texas 11, Houston 4. The Rangers are heading to the World Series, and the Astros are heading to the offseason with a number of questions.